Baptist Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Everybody took a vacation. Aren't you glad that God doesn't take a vacation? God is always here, and He's always at work, and He wants to move in our hearts and in our lives and to speak to us today. And so I'm glad that you're here, and I really want to get right into the message because it's a long chapter, but it's a very, I think, compelling chapter about what it really means to understand who God is and what He's doing. God is creating this tabernacle, and it's important to understand that this is to be the dwelling place of God. God is going to dwell here. And you remember in Genesis, He walked with Abraham, and He would appear and disappear, but now He's going to dwell, He's going to live within this tabernacle, and He's going to dwell there so that He can be with His people at all time. Now, as He's creating this tabernacle, there are two sets of coverings and two sets of curtains. And it's important to understand that. The outer covering was made of sea cow's hide. So they used hide as an outer covering. And the inner covering was made of ram skin, which was dyed red. There were two sets of curtains. The outer set was goat hair. And it's not like we think of a goat as far as being white. They were black goat hair. So it was a black set of curtains. And then the inner set was made of fine linen, which was blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Once again, though, we see beginning in chapter 26 that God always moves from the inside out. God starts from within the Holy of Holies and starts there as He's creating the walls and the shape and the formation. And He moves from that point to the outside. The last thing we'll see in this chapter is that God puts it's the curtain for the door to enter into the whole tabernacle. God always works from the inside out. We might approach the sanctuary from the outside in, but He always starts in our hearts. He starts with who we are, our character, the decisions that we make that shape us. Who we want to be and who we desire to be is something different than who we often really are. And there's sometimes a great contrast in what we see. We say, this is the man that I want to be, but this is the man or the woman that I am. And so we have to decide, how am I going to be this person? How am I going to learn to walk by faith and to learn to trust God in every avenue so that I walk in the ways of Jesus, so that I really become like Him? This whole process God is building is really a foreshadowing of what we have in Christ. Everything from the Ten Commandments to the sanctuary to the tabernacle to the Ark of the Covenant is a beautiful picture of who Christ is. So we're going to start here in chapter 26, and we're going to look at today the curtains and the coverings, because that's really what chapter 26 is all about. I was, man, really struggling. Like, God, how do I preach about curtains? You know, what color should they be? How long should they be? Like, how do I preach about curtains? I needed a woman's touch. And so I said, Lord, just help me to get in touch with my sensitive side so I can look at this from a new angle and a new light. And it didn't work so well. But anyway, I'm trusting that God will still speak to us. Exodus chapter 26, verses 1 and 2 say this. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim worked into them by a skilled craftsman. All the curtains are to be the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Remember, what's a cubit? 18 inches. Normally from the point where your arm bends to the end of your fingertip. Chapter 26, really, the whole focus is on the tabernacle that protected these three pieces of furniture that we just talked about in chapter 25. Also, it deals with the altar of incense, which we haven't seen yet, but we'll get to in Exodus chapter 30, verse 10. God will talk about the altar of incense. And this is a portable building, and it's going to be 15 feet by 45. The inner, Holy of Holies, is 45 by 15. And it has wooden frame. This framework is built with these poles. And the poles, kind of like what you would see a tent. You know how a tent has poles, and then the whole tent is over it? Well, he starts with the inner sanctuary, which is the Holy of Holies, and he's going to talk about the curtains that go around that. And it's 45 by 15, and these curtains are still stabilized with poles, just like a tent. But instead of it just being a tent on the top, it has a top and a covering that come down the sides. Over the top, he stretches out 10 curtains, which serve as like a large tent that actually hang down. Now, over this part of the Holy of Holies, the curtain was 1 cubit short of touching the ground. It was not allowed to touch the ground. And we'll see in the text that God has purposes for that. So then he says in verse 3 through 6, he says, join 5 of the curtains together. Join 5 of the curtains together and do the same with the other 5. Make loops of blue material along the edge of the end of the curtain in one set. And do the same with the end of the curtain in the other set. Make 50 loops on one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain of the other set. With the loops opposite each other, then make 50 gold clasps and use them to fasten the curtains together so that the tabernacle is a unit. Now these 50 gold clasps, he's going to change from the inner to the outer. Everything within the inside is covered with gold, which is important because gold represents deity. So when we see gold in the inner sanctuary, it's a picture of two things. One, God's holiness, his righteousness, his purity, because that's what God is. He is pure and he is righteous and there is no sin in him at all. Some people say when they're tempted, man, why did God put me through this? Let me tell you something. When tempted, no one should say that he is tempted of God. God doesn't tempt anyone. God doesn't draw anyone or entice anyone into sin. When you sin, it's because of your own evil desires. We are all sinful from birth. And so within us, we have cravings and desires that pull us away from God. We look at people who fall into sin and we say, I can't believe they did that. Man, it's a miracle to me that I go a day or an hour without sinning. We shouldn't say, I can't believe they did that. We should say, God, have mercy on them. Help them. Teach them. Because we're all capable of all kinds of sin. We have to understand that. We shouldn't judge people because they stumble or they fall. We should pick them up. We should pray for them. We should encourage them. Now, if they continually live in outward sin without repenting and turning to God, then we should separate ourselves. There is a time when you say, look, I can't associate with you. Because of the way you're living, the choices you're making, I can't spend time with you. I can't be in fellowship with you. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians 5. If a brother lives in outward sin, and he calls himself a Christ follower, he says he's a Christian, then we have to separate ourselves. We're actually called to do church discipline. Whereas a church, we would say, look, this person, man, he's outwardly living in sin. He won't change. He won't turn his life. He won't repent. We need to separate himself. He's not allowed to fellowship here anymore. And you do that. Why? Because you want to hurt the person? No. Because with hopes that God will make a difference in their life. That somebody will stand up and confront them in their sin. And because of that confrontation, they might start to examine their own hearts and say, wow, man, I really am messing up. I need to turn my life around. I need to repent of my sin. I need to run to God. See, the hope is always reconciliation. The hope is always repentance. Always. We should always want the best for the people around us because that's what love is. Love isn't about what's best for me. It's about what's best for everybody around me. So if I'm loving the people around me, my desires and my ideas and my thoughts are about how can I help them? How can I encourage them? How can I build them up? How can I serve them? That's the calling that God has placed in our lives. To love the people around us. To show Christ to them. This whole fabrication of this tabernacle is a representation of who God is. It's not God, but it's a representation. Just like you're not God. But you are a representation of God. Stop judging people. Hear me? Stop. Just be done with it. Stop looking at people and saying, I can't believe they do that, or they do this. Or they. Don't worry about what they do. If you see something in somebody, pray for them. Look at your own life, your own faults, your own issues. Look inside. Say, God, change me from the inside out that I might be like Christ. And when you're perfect, then you can look at other people's. Yeah, when you're perfect, then you can look at everybody else's sin. And you can call it out. But until then, We're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's it. That's what we're about. So chapter 26 is about the curtain, but there are things that we can learn here. These gold claps represent the deity and purity of God. God is the only one who's pure. Nobody here is ever pure in thought or deed. Never. If you knew what went through my head half the time, but if I knew what went through your head half the time, I wouldn't even preach to you. I'd be like, forget it. Because we all struggle, because we're all... See, but we don't want to admit that. Sometimes we just want to say, you know what, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, let's just go on. But it's not the truth. The truth is that we are all sinful from birth. In sin did my mother conceive me. Not you, I'm quoting from David. But that's what David said. But you were probably in sin when you conceived me too. It doesn't matter, right? In sin, we are all born in and with sin. And we need a redeemer. Chris, is there any way I can get this monitor on? Because when I talk so long, sometimes I forget where I'm at. The monitor would help. verses 7 through 9. Sorry, Chris. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 altogether. All 11 curtains are to be the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Now, the first set, remember, were of fine linen with beautiful colors. Why? Because those colors represent deity. Those colors represent kinghood, priesthood. So they're beautiful colors. Now, they're going to cover those curtains up with other curtains. Make curtains of goat hair, which are black and thick and ugly. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains are to be the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together in one set and the other 6 into one set, another set. Fold the 6th curtain double at the front of the tent. So you've got 5 curtains and then 5 more with an extra one, which is 6. Why? So the 6th one can hang over and become the door. So you've got from back to front, the 6th one hangs over the front and becomes the tent entrance. It's actually covering the beautiful entrance. Now you got to understand that God had woven into the tapestry of the Holy of Holies cherubims, which are angels, into the wall. But what was the point of that when nobody could see them? Nobody could see those beautiful cherubims woven into the tent. Actually, nobody could see anything in the Holy except for the high priest. And he was only allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. So you have... And I wish I could help you to see a picture. You have the Holy of Holies, which is a room, right? And in that room is the Ark of the Covenant. And it's got beautiful tapestry that is hanging 18 inches off the ground. And now over that covering is another set of curtains, which is on the outside, which is black. Why black? Because black represents our sin. So you've got curtains that are beautiful, that have the cherubims woven in, colors, it's gorgeous. But then around that, all you can see is what? Sin. Because in our lives, that's all we have until we come to Christ, until He comes inside. That's why on the inside it's beautiful, but on the outside it's dark. And so you have a set in the Holy of Holies, one room, that has this beautiful linen. And then on the outside of that beautiful linen is a black goat's hair all the way around it. And the goat's hair does what? Touches the ground. It touches the ground. You see, the beautiful tapestry doesn't touch the ground because it represents the deity. But the goat's hair touches the ground. It says, join all 5 together into one set and the other 6, and then fold the 6th curtain double at the front entrance. The entrance is the entrance to the Holy of Holies that only the high priest can enter in once a year. Verse 10 through 13 says, Make 50 loops along the edge of the end of the curtains in one set, and along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. Then make 50 bronze clasps and put them into the loops to fasten the tent together as a unit. As for the additional length of the tent curtains, the half curtain that is left over is to hang down at the rear of the tabernacle. The tent curtains will be a cubit longer on both sides, which will be left what is left over the sides of the tabernacle as to cover it. So it's a cubit longer. Why? Because the first one is shorter, so it doesn't touch the ground. The second one's a cubit longer, so it does touch the ground. So you got two sets. You got a beautiful set, which are colorful curtains that are hung within the tabernacle, forming the ceilings and the walls, the back, and they have exquisite tapestry in them. I mean, they're gorgeous, but nobody gets to see those until you're on the inside. And this is really all about understanding what's on the inside. God wants us to understand that what's on the inside is what's important for us. It's significant. You say, well, how do I know what's in my heart? Through the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. Listen to your words. What you say about people. Listen to your words. Through the abundance of the heart, the mouth. That's your red flag. That's like, whoa. Oh, but I was angry. You know, we're great at making excuses. Oh man, I didn't mean to say that. It's too late. We said it. We need to realize that through the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we have a sinful, deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. But if you're a true Christ follower, you have a new heart. And that new heart is created in the righteousness of God. It's holy and righteous and upright, filled with integrity. And so the key is to crucify the old self, the old flesh, and to live out this new person that is created to be like Christ. The new creation. So you got to grab those words before they come out because they represent your old, ugly, wicked heart. And you got to change directions. God, forgive me. Help me. And you got to keep going back to Him and asking Him to help you and learning to trust Him. God starts from the inside out. He wants to change us from the inside out. He creates from the inside out. He doesn't start by changing our character. He doesn't start by changing our way. He starts by changing our heart. That's why the promise is to have a new heart. Israel, for thousands of years, tried to live by a set of rules and standards. Tried to change who they were from the outside in. Now, I got news for you. We do the same thing when we raise our kids. We don't mean to. But we do that because we give them these boundaries and these rules. And boundaries are important and they're significant. But with those rules, we expect certain things. And so we teach them at a very young age to perform. We're pleased with them when they do the right things and we're displeased when they do the wrong things. But what we need to learn is to talk to them when they do the wrong things about the character of their heart. Not just the action, but the attitude that led to the action. Now think about that. How much different we would all be than when we had bad action, we discussed with one another about our attitude that led to that action. How much change there would be in our hearts and lives if we confronted each other in the truth and spoke the truth in love because we love that person and we want what's best for them. We could say, look, what I see in your action represents what's really going on in your heart. And so what's happening in your heart right now doesn't look so good. Is there anything I can do? Can I help you? Can I encourage you? Can I hold you accountable? Can I pray for you? So that your attitude will match your actions. Nobody can consistently behave. Nobody can consistently behave in a way that they view, in an opposite way that they view themselves. If you view yourself as somebody, then you will behave in the way that you see yourselves. We need to know that we're children of God so that we can consistently act in a way that we see ourselves. We are children of God because of what Jesus has done for us. And God wants us to live like His children. He wants us to walk like His children. God wants us to grow in His grace and knowledge. And if we were to be honest, really honest. Most people that call themselves Christ followers, yeah, they go to church and they read their Bible a little bit, maybe, here and there. But the desire to really be a disciple, to be a follower, to lay down your life, isn't always there. And so I would encourage you, man, to get alone with God. You would say, I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years. Well, how is your walk? Is your walk better today than it was a week ago? Is it better than it was a year ago? Is it better than it was 10 years ago? Where's it at today? You see, walking with Christ isn't about what happened yesterday. It's not about what happened last week. It's not about the decision I made 10 years ago. It's about where I am right now. It's about how I'm living right now. Am I seeking His righteousness? Am I living by His grace? Am I walking in love and showing love to the people around me? Or am I always just thinking about myself? Look, through the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to your own prayers. Journal. So that when you journal your prayers, you can see. What are you praying about? Is it really all about what I want, what I desire, what I need? Or is it about the people around me that I love and care about and want to build up and help? You got to ask yourself, because if you don't ask yourself, who's going to ask you? Who's going to check your motives if you don't check your own? God is very particular about the way He designs. And He designed us to grow and change from the inside out, not the outside in. Don't be legalistic and try to live by a set of rules, because that'll do nothing but beat you down. And then don't project that onto other people. Oh man, I can't believe you said that. Or I can't believe you act that way. You call yourself a Christian? Don't treat people that way. Learn to walk in love. Learn to encourage and to build up and pray. I don't know how much time you spend praying, but there is no more powerful thing that we could ever do for one another than to pray for one another. To really lift each other up. Because God is the one who has the power. Not me or you. Verse 14 says, make for the tent a covering of ram skins dyed red. And over that a covering of hides of sea cows. Make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, with 2 projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Now, the goat's hair was the curtain that covered the inner beauty. So now, as far as a covering, you're going to go with cow's hide. I mean, you're like, what is that? It's like a manatee, all right? It's got real thick skin. It would keep it from being weathered. It would keep it from being ruined. And so you have 2 sets of curtains, and then you have 2 sets of coverings. Now, you got to realize that it's dyed red for a reason. Why? Because that represents the blood. Without the blood, there is no purification. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remissions of sin. So the red represents what Christ was to do for us. Now, between the time they created this till the time Christ came, they had to create offerings. So they had different offerings, and then once a year they had the Day of Atonement to cover their sins for that year. The 5 of the goat hair curtains were joined together like the inner curtains, and the 6 goat hair curtains in the same way with the 2 sets were joined by the bronze clasps. Different. Inside were gold clasps. Now the outside of the outer curtain ring is bronze. You got gold for the inside representing the deity, and you've got bronze which represents the humanity. The length of this covering was to be 45 feet because the inside covering was 42. So this is 45 by 15 high. So it covered all the way around. And the important thing to understand here is that these 2 coverings were really for protection. You say, why does a tabernacle that's being moved need protection? Do you need protection? I do. Man, I put a bullseye on my back the day I said yes to Jesus. The day I said, Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll be whatever you want me to be, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. No matter what it costs me, I'm yours. It was like a bullseye was just planted right on my back. You know what I need? I need God's protection. And these coverings represent the protection between God and the world and God's people who are on the inside. If they're on the inside, God protects them. If they're on their outside, they're on their own. There's no protection outside of the tabernacle. Look, the battle we fight is real. The Bible says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. There's a spiritual battle that goes on every day for the souls of men and women. Don't think that you won't be under attack the day you say yes to Jesus. Don't think that thoughts won't be placed in your mind. You say, I didn't know demons can. Yes, they can. You say, but I'm a Christ follower. That's right. They can't possess you, but they can oppress you. They can't own you because God owns you. But it doesn't mean they can't influence you. It doesn't mean they can't affect the way you live. They can't affect the way you think. That's why we are commanded to take each thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Because the thoughts that come in, we got to weigh them out. Is this from my flesh? Is this from the Holy Spirit? Or is this from the evil one? Because there's a real battle. It causes us to be angry at each other and hurt each other with our words and tear each other down. We need protection. I don't know if you've ever read through Ephesians 6 where it talks about the armor of God. Man, we need to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to fight the good fight of faith. And it's hard sometimes because we live in a world where everybody is going and going and going. You got to make time to get in His presence and ask for His protection. If you're not in His presence, don't expect His protection. If you're not spending time with Him each and every day, walking with Him and talk, how can you expect Him to protect you? You're out there trying to fight the good fight of faith on your own, in your own power, in your own strength. So you're out there running around trying to handle this, and the problem is we can't handle it. We can't fight against God's greatest creation, which was Lucifer, who fell. The spiritual battle is real. Right now, even though we can't see it, there's a war going on in the heavenly realms. And there's a battle for what your thoughts will be and where you will go and how you will live and what will take place in your life. And God wants us to turn to Him for protection so that He can protect us. Verse 18 through 21 says, make 20 frames. So it moves from the curtains to the coverings, and now to the frames. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle, and make 40 silver bases to go under them. Two bases for each frame, one under each projection. Now, projection is like when you, the way they would create them is like you project a wall. You create this like side, and then you would stand it up. All right? Like if you were building a wall, and then you would stand it up. So there's a projection on this side and a projection on that side. So that when they put the tent together, they would stand them up and then link them together with the corners. Make sense? Pretty simple if you know anything about construction. You build the wall, boom, you stand them up, then you link them together with the corners so that it's tied in a it's a rectangular shape. That's how it all works together. So it says make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle, make 40 silver bases to go under them. Two bases for each frame, one under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, make 20 frames and 40 silver bases, two under each frame. Make six frames for the far end, that is the west end of the tabernacle, and make two frames for the corners at the far end. At these two corners, they must be doubled from the bottom all the way to the top and fitted into one single ring. Both shall be like that. So there will be eight frames and 16 silver bases, two under each frame. Now basically this is like building walls. So you got sets of frames and you have bases underneath those sets, kind of like we would call a foundation. You would have a foundation. Of course ours would be underground, but these needed to be what? Mobile, right? They needed to be able to pick them up and move them. So they built the bases so that they could be mobile. And the frames the same way. They were attached together so they could unattach them, take them down, and be ready to go at any time, anywhere. And that's the life of Christ. For us, if we're truly Christ followers, we go anywhere, anytime, whatever he leads us, we must be willing to yield our will to his will. And that really is the biggest issue for all of us as Christ followers. Not my will be done, but thy will. That's the battle we all struggle with each and every day. Lord, you lead, I will follow. That's why it's called following. Not, Lord, let me lead you and please follow me. You know, Lord, I'm going to do this. Will you please bless it? Think about how we pray. We say, God, just put your hand on this. God, I'm working over here. God, will you bless this? God, will you do this? Instead of letting God lead us. Because if he leads you, he will bless you. He'll take care of the end result because he led you to it. Where God guides, he always provides. Always. If he's the one doing the leading. The problem is when we try to lead God and say, hey, I really want you to do this, God. I really need this. It doesn't quite work that way. Verse 26 through 29 says, also make crossbars. These are to go between two sides. Now you got the crossbars. Kind of like the framework. You know, it kind of holds it all together. Also make crossbars of acacia wood. Five for the frames on one side of the tabernacle and five for those on the other side. And five for the frames on the west at the far end of the tabernacle. The center crossbar is to extend from end to end at the middle of the frames. Overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to hold the crossbars. Also overlay the crossbars with gold. So this is, again, he's starting with the frames, and where's he going to start at? It's not a trick question. Where's he going to start at? In the Holy of Holies. There's the holy place, and then there's the Holy of Holies. He always starts within the Holy of Holies and then works out. First thing he did, which he created the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the center of the Holy of Holies. So he's in within this little room, and he starts there, and then he's going to work out. So all these are to be covered with what? Gold. Why? Because they represent Jesus. His humanity is wood. It's broken. And the gold is his purity and deity. So everything is overlaid with gold inside the Holy of Holies. And that's where he's starting at. There are 48 frames altogether. 48. 20 for the south side, 20 for the north side. 6 for the west, which is the back side. And an extra one at each corner for additional strength to hold it together. Winds, storms, whatever comes that way. The frames were secured by 15 crossbars. And then, of course, it's kind of like joists. If you know what joists are, when you build a roof, they run joists. You know, joists go down like this, and then there's a centerpiece that ties them all together. It's pretty simple the way God built this. But it's also very, very detailed. Because God cares about every detail of your life. Look, everything that you go through, God knows. Everything that you feel, everything that you experience, he's involved. He sees when you're sad, and he sees when you're filled with joy. He knows when you're hurting, and he knows when you're happy. The key is in all things to come to him. If I'm broken, then I lay myself before the Lord, and I say, Lord, I'm broken. I need you. Fill me and change me and transform my mind. If I'm filled with joy, I rejoice in him and I thank him. And we're to do that together. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We're to empathize and sympathize with one another and caring for each other as brothers and sisters, praying for each other, building. That's what the family is supposed to be. This tabernacle represents the body of Christ because it was all connected together. It was all different pieces coming together as one whole. Just like every one of us is unique with our personalities and our gifts and our shapes and our talents. But together we make a whole. I can do things that you can't do. But you can do things that I can't do. And that's why God puts us all together. So together we can be the body. Together we can work together and make a difference in this world. Touching and transforming hearts and lives by his power. Not by ours, by his strength and his grace and his mercy. God wants us to walk in his grace. The frames were secured by the crossbars, five on each side, five at the back, that fit through the gold rings horizontally. They fit horizontally. These bars were overlaid with gold. The center bar on each side was to extend the full length, completely through, so that it would connect everything together. And the other ones were shorter than, of course, the one that went all the way through, so that they would be built like joists. And then in verse 31, he says, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen. You say, wait a minute, they already did that. Well, they're doing it again. It's not the same curtain that he talked about in the beginning. It's another curtain. With the cherubim, here again, with the angel, a cherubim, remember, is the image of an angel, worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Hang it with gold hooks on four posts of Ekei wood, overlaid with gold and standing on four civil bases. Like, what's this about? Why another curtain? I mean, they already did the Holy of Holies. Hang the curtain from the clasp and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy place. This is what they call the curtain of the veil. All right? This is the curtain of the veil that represents the outer tabernacle from the inner Holy of Holies. You have let's say this is a rectangle right here. This is the shape of the whole thing, all right? And in this whole thing, if it was like that, if you were looking at it as a rectangle, towards the back end, you would have a section right in here that would be the Holy of Holies. And so now there needed to be a curtain between the holy place, which is all out here, and the Holy of Holies. And then they had the courtyard that actually went around the outer edges, called the courtyard, where people would, we'll get to that, where people would meet together and pray and talk about God. And then they had, so you entered in, there was only one entrance. You would enter in the front of the tabernacle, and then you would come into the holy place, and then there was another curtain, which was called the curtain of the veil, which separated everybody from God. And you couldn't enter into that place unless you were the high priest, and you could still only do that once a year. There was a barrier that kept people from God. Even though God was dwelling with them, they couldn't reach out and touch Him. They couldn't just come to Him. There was still separation. And that's why the black covering over this covering represented our sin. It's our sin that separates us from God. Does that make sense? Sin, that's why the goat's hair was black, was the outer curtain that separated, kept people out from the presence of God. If a high priest were to go into the Holy of Holies, they had tassels, and we'll see how their wardrobe was built. But it was built with little bells on it. So that if they went into the Holy of Holies to bring a sacrifice, and you can never enter the Holy of Holies without a blood offering. So when he entered once a year, if he had sin in his own life and not repented, he would fall over and die. Literally, die. And they would hear the bells. Ding. Oh, another one bites the dust. Hey. And then they had to drag them out. They would literally tie a rope to their ankle. So when they went in there, if they went to make the offering and they fell over dead and the bells rang, they were like, okay. They had to drag. They couldn't go in and get him because they would die too. So they had to literally drag him out of the temple. You say, well, that's mean. It's not mean. God doesn't put up with our sin. That's what it means. God doesn't want us living in sin. God hates sin. Whatever we have that keeps us from God, He hates because He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to walk with us. And it's always our sin that separates us. Even 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, if we claim to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we sin, we live in darkness and do not live by the truth. You can't walk in the light and the darkness at the same time. And God wants us to walk in the light. In order to walk in the light, we have to confess our sin, even as believers. Because we still have a relationship with God, but if you're a believer and you're living in sin, it messes with your fellowship. Not your relationship, but your fellowship with God. So you got to understand that. Jesus died for all your sins, past, present, and future. But when you outwardly live in sin, your fellowship with God is hurts. It separates. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, we don't have to ask for forgiveness because forgiveness is already there. But we need to confess our sins, repenting from it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us because Jesus already died for us, and to cleanse us unto all unrighteousness, so that we can be in a right standing, a right relationship with the Father. But it's imperative for us as believers to turn from our sin. If you've got sin in your life and you know it, and you're just letting it lie there, whether it's lust, or whether it's lying, or whether it's stealing, or whether it's cheating, or whether you're manipulating or deceiving somebody, and you know that's in your life and you're not dealing with it, watch out. Because you're not going to walk in fellowship with God. And if you're not in fellowship with God, you're going to be miserable on the inside. Miserable. And all we got to do is confess and turn from, repent, and give it to God and say, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. The curtain will separate, last sentence in this line, the curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. The inner curtain was to separate all people from the presence of God. God dwelt on the mercy seat. That's why the cherubims faced each other. That's where God was. People could not reach out and touch God. They couldn't connect with God. Only the high priest, which was their mediator, he was the mediator that went before them and would share their needs with the King of Kings. Who's our mediator? Yes, right. He is our mediator. Jesus goes before us to the Father at all times. It's important to note that this curtain hung on four gold hooks, but from that point forward, all the hooks were bronze. They weren't gold anymore. The walls had silver in the Holy of Holies, and then it had bronze from that point forward on the bases. There's a big difference because God was distinguishing between his purity and people and where they live. Inside the Holy of Holies was just the Ark of the Covenant. And then in the holy place was the table, the presence of bread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense, which we'll see later in Exodus 30. Verse 35 through 37. Says, place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle, and put the lampstand opposite it on the south side. For the entrance of the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Now, you say, what entrance? This is the final entrance. God has moved from the Holy of Holies to the final part of the tent, and this is the last, this is the entrance that you come to God in. You have to come into the holy place in order to get to the Holy of Holies. So this is the door to the tent of the tabernacle. He says, place the table outside the curtain on the north side. That's the first curtain of the tabernacle. And put the lampstand opposite it on the south side. For the entrance to the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. And finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. Make gold hooks for this curtain. And five posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold. And cast five bronze bases for the silver. Remember the other one? For them. The other ones were silver. These are bronze. The curtain at the tent's entrance was to be made of the same material as the inside of the curtain for the Holy of Holies. The bases, though, were gold on the Holy of Holies, and now they're bronze. Not silver anymore, too. The five posts for the four inner curtains were overlaid with gold. These were overlaid with gold. This space was wider, was 15 feet wide. The other one was more narrow when you got into the Holy of Holies. People say, why? Why would it be more narrow? Because broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many do go there. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14. But small is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few do find it. Look, there's a broad road, just like there's a broad entrance. But the broad entrance doesn't put you in the narrow entrance, because there's a veil there. And everybody in this world is veiled. They're veiled. They can't see the holiness of God. They can't see the goodness of God. They can't see the grace of God. Nobody can see the holiness of God until God removes the veil. That's why it doesn't do you any good to beat people up with the Bible. Oh, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. Don't beat them up. Pray for them. Get on your knees and plead for them. Don't beat them with the Bible. Encourage them. Share the word. Pray that God would open their eyes and open their mind and illuminate to them and call them and save them. Or they'll be eternally separated from God. There's a veil to the Holy of Holies. There's an entrance to the tent, but that doesn't get you in the Holy of Holies. God's presence dwells in the Holy of Holies. When Jesus came and he died on the cross, that black debt that remained around the tabernacle was paid for. The covering, which was red, took care of the black, and it wiped away our sins. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, and when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, not a moment earlier, not a moment behind, because God's timing is always perfect. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. How thick was that veil? How thick was it, Doug? Did I catch you sleeping, Doug? How thick was the veil to the Holy of Holies? I know you know. It's like 10 inches thick. Between 6 to 10. Now think about that. A thick curtain, 6 to 10 inches. Thick. Woven together. And that at the exact moment when Jesus died, that curtain was ripped. Whoosh, from top to bottom. They've never been able to explain that. People say, oh yeah, it's just a coincidence. Coincidence that a 6 to 10 inch curtain, that thick, ripped from top to bottom at the exact moment that Jesus died. Why? Why would that happen? Because there's no veil anymore for those who are in Christ. Look, you and I, Christ followers, we have access. Access to the Father at all times, to his presence. Do you realize how precious that is? Do you realize how powerful that is? That we have access to God the Father at all times because Jesus died and the veil was torn in two? Look, I'm just going to get practical this morning, all right, just for a minute. So bear with me. When you have a problem, like you don't have enough money or enough time, or you're lonely or you're struggling, our natural response as people is to call our friends or to worry or to be stressed, take a Xanax or, you know, whatever. Drink a beer. Kill a bottle. I don't know what you do. But I know that normally people tend to run to other things when they deal with stress or anxiety or pain. And God wants to use our pain to shape us. What's that great quote from C.S. Lewis? God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. As his wife was dying from cancer and died, did God rescue him out of his pain? No. But he walked with him through it. And he changed his life. It shaped his character. Whatever you go through, you got to stop running to your friends or your parents or your neighbors or a bottle or a pill, or some kind of cheap thrill. You got to run to Jesus. The veil was torn so we can enter His presence once and for all. He's there for you. You just got to run to Him. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, He is there. I understand that some of us have extremely painful experiences. And it's all relative. It's all relative. Whatever you're experiencing, your life might be just tormenting you on the inside. But somebody else might have something else and it's tormenting them. And worrying, what good does worrying do? But yet we worry. Jesus said, why do you worry? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? You can't change anything. So practically, God has torn the veil. The veil was there to separate people because of their sin. Well, when Jesus died, all my sin was cast as far as the east is to the west. And He says He will remember it no more. So that I can have a right relationship. So that when I do sin, I confess my sin so that I can walk with Him. Stop running to all these other things and run to Jesus. Doesn't that make sense? Let's run to Jesus. Next time you're mad at your wife, run to Jesus. And wife, run. Just run. I'm just kidding. We all need to run to Jesus. And if we did that, and then spoke the truth to each other and loved each other and helped each other, man, what a difference we could make in this world. I mean, a real difference. We could be the light. Like Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. He said, let your good deeds be seen that men might glorify God. You're the salt of the earth. We can do that. We can be that because everything we need is in us. We got God living inside of us. We can be in His presence with one thought at any time. Do you realize how big this is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The power unlimited through the Holy Spirit to walk by faith and not by sight. Take captive your doubts and your worries and your struggles and throw them away. Don't live by fear. Fear is always a choice. Yeah, I don't even think fear is real, except for the fear of God. Because everything else is just something that you choose to experience or you choose to be afraid of. You don't have to be afraid of anything. The only thing you have to fear is God. You don't have to fear being alone. You don't have to fear cancer. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear it. Fear is always a choice. I chose a long time ago not to be afraid. I'm not going to fear anything but God, because I know that that one fear will replace all other fears. And I know that's what God wants for us. Over and over in the Bible, be strong and courageous. Fear not. God wants us to walk by faith and not by fear. So whatever you're struggling with this morning, just bring it to Jesus. I'm going to give you a few seconds to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. God already knows what you're struggling with. Don't hide it from Him. I'm going to ask you to bring it to the cross this morning. Jesus went to the cross so that the curtain would be torn, so that our sins would be paid for, so that we would have a real relationship. So bring whatever you're carrying right now to the cross. Bring it to Him. In your own words, talk to Him. Tell Him, Lord, I want to surrender this. I want to lay it down. I want to give it to You. I don't want to carry it anymore. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to worry anymore. Help me to learn to walk by faith. Lord, we come to You this morning as a body, desiring to be the body of Christ. Desiring to allow You to have all of us, God, to fill us with Your grace and mercy. God, to change us and transform us into the image of Christ. that people might see Jesus in us. Lord, you see our habits. You see our issues, our hang-ups, our hurts. God, you see it all. Help us to lay it down and to walk away from it. God, remove the doubts from our mind. Fill us with faith. Increase our faith that we might trust you in all things, that we might love you more than we love ourselves, and that we might bring glory and honor to your name. God, we honor you this morning, and we thank you for the sacrificial death of Jesus that tore the veil and opened the door for us to know you. Fill us with your presence, God.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.